Pleased to have with us right now Doug Deacon from the Browns Radio Network. Doug, how's your offseason going?
So far, so good. It's been pretty good compared to last year in regards to getting rounds of golf in.
I was going to say, the weather has been perfect for you, and you look like you've definitely spent some time on the course. Deke, so much now, we're closing in 22 days, I believe, and counting until the start of the draft, and that's really where all the conversation is and the concentration of energy and effort by this team. And you know, the place that I always like to talk about with you is that offensive line spot, particularly that tackle spot. That's a position that this team has to come out of this draft somewhere, I would assume, in those first three picks they have in the first 37 with a good tackle.
I think, yeah, that's one of the things. You know, you looked at a right side, it's a different kind of environment over there than it is on the left side. The left side is a little bit more of a finesse position because it's got the blind side, and you got to make sure nobody gets the clean shot, where the right side, you know, most people kind of consider it the power tackle. But with that, you know, with the departure of Steinbach, which you also have to look at is somebody that can play behind Joe Thomas, because, you know, Joe has been very fortunate. He's been able to play all the snaps since he's been here. But, you know, when you had Steinbach, you kind of had a security blanket. So if you look to the right side, you've got to hope to you have a guy that can also flip to the left side.
Yeah, versatility being the key. And the best tackle in this draft, clearly I don't think there's any question about it, is the kid Matt Khalil from USC, who most people are making a foregone conclusion that he's not going to be available at number four to the Browns because he'll be off the board at the three spot to the Minnesota Vikings. So if we go on that basis, you erase that name. But funny things happen in the draft, and maybe one of the funniest could be, if that's the right way to put it, somebody trading up to Minnesota's spot to get a player that they may worry the Browns would take from them. And the conventional rumor on that has been, or speculation has been, Ryan Tannehill, the quarterback from Texas A&M, that maybe Miami wants so badly that they would jump ahead of the Browns to get him.
Boy, I mean, you talk about a rise of a player in the draft. Tannehill, you mean, he has definitely gone up in the last couple months. And, you know, I'm sure, you know, the Browns are stoking the fire in regards to, you know, who they might take, because, you know, they're in a position where they need a lot of players. And, you know, if Tom elects to move down and get more players, I think his track record as a draftee, a drafter, you know, speaks for itself. You know, he's added nothing but quality players here.
He really has. And I think the methodical approach, too, will be there, because you know the spots that have to be filled. We're specifically targeting right tackle, but you know wide receiver has to be addressed somewhere along the line. We think running back is going to come up somewhere in the discussion as well. But you can't also ignore defense. You can't ignore the secondary. So corner would make sense somewhere, or a guy who can be versatile to go inside if necessary. And I know we got Buster Screen on this team and some other younger players, but Eric Hag. But I think that's still a spot that could be addressed as well.
Well, I think, yeah, not only the cornerback position, I think the depth at the linebacker position. I think that's something that, you know, you look at Scott Fujita at his age, and you don't know what's going to happen with the New Orleans situation. So, you know, you also have to look at the linebacker position.
Yeah, just for the sake of depth. And we started this discussion about tackle. So if we say that nothing out of the ordinary happens and Minnesota takes Matt Khalil off the board, what's left? Well, there's a guy named Riley Reiff from Iowa, 6'6", 313. Got to spend some time with him at the combine. Seems like the solid kid, again, an Iowa type of player, that Big Ten road grader that you talk about right tackle being a power position. I could see somebody like that fitting very nicely there.
Well, not only that, his exposure to Kirk Ferentz, who also coached the offensive line here when Bill Belichick was here, great coach. And, you know, he's going to come out with great technique, much like Eric Steinbach. You know, he came out of Iowa. He was pretty much a polished product when he got here.
Yeah, he was, and you're right. That's what I think a Riley Reiff could be. And he seems to be a guy, Doug, that maybe is available. Now, again, four could be too high a spot to go for that to go for him there. But if you move down and you look at, okay, then 22, is that a little too low? A lot of projections have him somewhere in the middle of the round. So back to your point about Tom Heckert and the wheeling and dealing, he could easily move his way up. I say easily. He could move. I don't know how easy it'll be. But move his way up to, say, that middle area. And when you've got 13 draft picks total, you should have the ability to possibly pull that off.
Well, we saw him do it last year with Phil Taylor. He moved down, then moved back up. And, you know, that's – you know, I don't know what their formulas are, but yeah. I think, you know, Tom has a great grasp of it. And, you know, he's, you know, the key to the whole organization in a lot of regards because, you know, coaches only coach the players that they have. And those players are good. It makes coaching a lot easier and it makes the franchise a lot better.
Doug Deacon joining us, of course, the Browns Radio Network analyst, former Browns offensive lineman here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Other names at tackle, you hear Jonathan Martin, 6'5", 312 from Stanford, Mike Adams from Ohio State. I know with both of those guys, a lot of the discussion is in their pass pro, in the fact that they're longer players who good reach. Don't know, though, if they really fit the power profile as well as, say, Khalil or Reef do.
Well, I think, you know, you went to the combine and Adams is – bench press was pretty low, and yeah. I think we talked about the fact that the longer arm guys, it's great to keep the body away, but also when it comes to bench presses, it's really tough because they're so long armed. It's really much harder for them than it is for a shorter arm player.
Yeah, and the other thing is, again, with Martin, he didn't actually show as much. The thing he has to sell is athleticism, is movement, quickness, vertical movement. He didn't run all that particularly well in his at the combine, and didn't give people a sense that he was really. And I don't know how much it means clocking these guys in the 40 as an offensive lineman, but you got to go by something for speed, right, or quickness.
Well, I think your ability to move your feet. Because I always tell kids, I say, I don't care how big and strong you are, if you can't move your feet, you're not going to be worth a darn because you can't get in front of the guy. And I think, you know, footwork is a big part, and I'm sure they have drills that they put these guys through that gives them an indication of, how they are. And so much of sports is about opening your hips, right. You know, whether or not you can open your hips. And, you know, you see guys that are stiff, you know, they kind of like they play in cement. And you can't have one of those because, you know, those guys, there's so many good pass rushers today. And they flip them around where, you know, in the old days it used to be you had the same four guys line up against the same five guys. But today, you know, if you've got a good pass rusher and the other team thinks you got a weakness, they're going to expose you.
Sure. And that applies, by the way, footwork to the run blocking game, right? I mean, it isn't. We think of it as being physical and overpowering, but you do – not only do you have to get yourself in front of a quicker outside speed rusher, but you also have to use your footwork and balance the right way to get downfield blocking.
Well, downfield blocking, just, you know, to cut off the angles, you know, and these guys are all so big today, you're really not going to, you know, knock them off the ball, you know, 5-10 yards.
Right.
So what you got to do is, you know, position. And, you know, Blanton Collier used to have a phrase that he used to say when Jim Brown was here. He says, hey, you know, as long as you get your body on a guy, you know, nobody's going to tackle Jim Brown with one arm.
Right.
So, you know, by occupying the defender's body, you know, and keeping him where he can't, he can only reach out with one arm, then if you got a, you know, good, strong running back, you know, you've got something going for you.
Deke, the way I look at things as we, again, reach this point where the countdown is 22 days now, a shade over 3 weeks to the draft, that when we look at what this team did in free agency, and it wasn't much in the way of new faces, which has have a lot of people saying, you know, where's the fresh meat? You know, where are the faces that we can get excited about, the new people? But the expenditures that were made to keep the defenders this team have, like DeQuell Jackson, like Dimitri Patterson, the whole push to look at the picture of, and then bringing in a new guy like Frosty Rucker, of Jaquay Parker on the defensive line, making sure this defense that was the strength of this team last year gets that much better coming into this season sets the table, I think, for a draft that you can focus on offense and I think come out of it with the right pieces, right parts you need to make this offense better.
Yeah, I think you know everybody gets enamored with free agency, and you know, obviously that's a place where you overpay a lot of times. And you know, then all of a sudden, you know, your salary cap has gotten you. If you know you're paying here, you got to take away someplace else.
Yeah.
And you know, I think unfortunately, Tom Heckert is paying for the past people that have run the draft here, and I think that's unfortunate because he has not been given an opportunity in a lot of ways to put together the kind of team that he wants to. And if you look at his two drafts, and you say, geez, you know, if he'd have been here in '99. You know, he probably taken the Ditka deal and taking all those picks and, you know, build a team around the quarterback rather than just getting the quarterback and then hoping that you filled in the pieces and parts. And they didn't have receivers. They didn't have a running game. And then the offensive line was kind of a patchwork. And, you know, poor Tim Couch, you know, got killed. And I think, you know, Tom understands, you know, if you're going to have that valuable commodity there at quarterback, you better have the surrounding parts to make them better.
Deke, great stuff. We appreciate you coming by to chat with us, and we'll catch up with you again soon, my friend.
Sounds good.
All right. He is Doug Deacon from the Browns Radio Network joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty Ford, brought to you by Madden NFL 12 EA Sports. It's in the game.